This bad boy on. There it is. I had a wave of anxiety sweep over me as we're doing music, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I'm thinking about my message, and I think I got it figured out. So, well, you'll see in a little bit. But you know, I wanted to start off with a quote. I feel like people who, you know, they stand up and they preach and they give a good message and all that stuff, when they feel like they've got all of these quotes from these different authors and books and speakers and you name it. And so they look, you know, really nice and intellectual, like they read books and everything. I don't read books. But I can quote movie lines. I'm really good at quoting movie lines. When I was a kid, my brother and I used to go back and forth doing movie lines, and then we'd get my parents involved and ask them what movie they figured out that was from. That was quite the thing. My brother to this very day does that. He does the whole movie line thing. He'll say it. The only problem is he watches all the weird movies, and I have no idea where these movies have come from. So, but, you know, you think, man, if I could just look intellectual and smart and all that really good stuff, then I would have it made. I love movies, by the way, instead of books. Do I have anybody else in here that's like that? I love that I can say I can watch a movie in 2 hours, unless it's Titanic or Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And I can get the whole story within 2 hours, right? I love that. I love that I can. And reading a book, it takes me 6 months to read 3 chapters. I'm just not a good reader. And it's not that I can't read. It's that when I start to read, I get into these, I'll read a paragraph and my mind goes, oh, you know, and then I start thinking about this over here. Sometimes it's a good thing. I feel like that's the Holy Spirit leading me. Sometimes it's not a good thing. Sometimes it's my stomach leading me or thinking, man, I really could do something else. I don't know what's going on. I love a good movie because in 2 hours I can get the whole story. And so I told you all of this so that I could set up my nice little quote from you from St. Francis of Assisi. This is, I'm stealing this, by the way. St. Francis of Assisi to Brother Dominic on the road to Umbria. Are you ready for it? Hi. That's it. Hi. I wasted 5 minutes of our time setting up this nice little quote that says, hi. I tend to do that. I tend to go all the way out and around to get one short little answer. Let me go this and then I'll get to my sermon, all right? Because I'm going to go all the way out and around again. There's a road in Hicksville. It's the main vein through Hicksville, or one of the main veins through Hicksville. And if you want to go to Fort Wayne right now, the road is closed on that main vein. And it is a pain to have to go all the way around just to get back on High Street so that you can get to Fort Wayne. And it's not really, it's an inconvenience. It's why it's a pain, right? So I have to go all the way out, hit the stop signs, stop sign, stop sign, finally turn and go so that I can get to Fort Wayne. I hate going all the way out and around just to come back for an answer. Yet I find each and every day of my life, I go all the way out and around and I come back to try and get the answer. I was doing ancestry research. And if you've ever done ancestry research, the only way to get an answer is to go all the way out and then come back. You think, man, I just would love to get the direct path and get it there. Just like a movie, 2-hour movie, gets me the whole story. But sadly, it doesn't get me the whole story. And everybody that reads the book tells me, you should have read the book because there's so much more in the book than you missed in the movie. So who cares? I got the beginning, the middle, and the end, right? But it does matter because I go all the way out. And so this message, probably another reason I have anxiety, is because this message, I usually start my messages on Monday morning, and they don't get finished until Saturday night, maybe even Sunday morning, the following Sunday. And the reason is, there's just so much different things that you think of, and you have to go all the way out and come back to get the answer. The bad part is Thursday morning, I'm going with Max to Sweetwater, and we're getting these lights, like the red lights and the things that you see there. we're getting these at Sweetwater, and I'm telling him, listen, I got two messages in the pot. Neither of them have any worth to be ready for Sunday morning. And you know what he did? He laughed at me. I'm like, well, gee, thanks, pal. He's like, well, you know, 30 years of ministry, same thing happens. No, he actually got on Google and helped me out a little bit, inspired me. So with that, I will get to my message. By the way, I have zero idea where this is going to go. I know where I want this to go, but I have no idea how you're going to receive it. And might scare me a little, just a little bit. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Does anybody know what an ass is? No name, no names. Yeah, no pointing fingers. What's that? It's a donkey. In the Bible, it's a donkey. It comes from the Latin phrase, e asinus. I'm not making that up. Long before a donkey was called a donkey, it was called an ass. All right? I've been called an ass countless times. And then I left home. I turned 18 and left home. Now you see why I was anxious. My poor brother, he never got the brunt of that. No, but since then I graduated. You know, I've had different names now. When you leave home and you graduate in that arena, there's different terms or names that get put in front of that. So smart, wise, Jack. Mostly for me, it's been dumb. Scary, right? See, we see donkeys as small, stubborn little animals, and like they're not good for much. Perhaps that's why we use that term for people, that word. But I'm going to tell you, I sometimes hate being that. In some cases, I deserve it. Okay, many cases, I deserve it. Okay, all the time, I deserve it. Jeez. I deserve it a lot. But the more I study about them, the more I'm proud that if you open the dictionary to that word, you'll see my face next to it. All right? I really am. The more I study the donkey, the more I realize I'm okay being called that. I'm okay being called what it all entails. And so I want to dive into that just a little bit because I think that it's worth, if you've ever been called that, I think it's worth diving into what you've been called. So the first point is this: what the world calls dumb, God calls wise. See, we're called dumb or we're called ignorant if we believe that there was a God that created the earth, and in 6 days, nonetheless, how could that be possible? We're dumb or ignorant to believe that. We are really foolish to believe a man died for the sins of all mankind, and then even more foolish to think that he raised from the dead. We're crazy to think that he's in this room right now and that his spirit is among us right now, in us, breathing on us, and leading us and guiding us this very minute. We're really crazy to think that. Yet, the Bible calls that the foolishness of God. Here's what 1 Corinthians says. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is this wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who do believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, Greeks or Gentiles search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To Jews it's a stumbling block, and to Gentiles it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, sometimes I think that we neglect the gospel. I think that we neglect talking the gospel into the world and into people who might may or may not know Jesus. And I think part of that is because we're afraid to look stupid. I think we're afraid to look dumb in the world's eyes. I can remember in fifth grade, there was a, she was doing a question and answer, the teacher was, and it seems to me like it was an easy question that she had asked. It's just that when you're like me and you don't fully listen, you come up with the wrong answer or something to that effect. Or maybe you didn't understand how the question was asked or whatever. So I raise my hand, give the answer. Of course it's the wrong answer. And this girl across the classroom yells out, "You're so stupid," I thought. And I just immediately shut down right then and there. A little bit late, to the teacher's credit, a little bit later, she asked another question, and that girl raised her hand, answered it, it was wrong, and she looks at me and she goes, "Jason, get her back." Well, I did. But listen, when we, sometimes I think when we feel like we've been made stupid, that we just shut down. And so we're afraid to look stupid, we're afraid to look dumb, we're afraid to be dumb. And so, yeah, well, and so we're afraid to put out that gospel. We're afraid to put out the good news that Christ the Savior has been born. Christ the Savior came into the world, that he saved us from our sins. He lived and he died and he rose again from the grave. This simple message, why is it so hard to give it? You know what I mean? And it's because we're afraid to look stupid. I think that's one of the reasons. We don't like to be seen that, or wrong. How many of you like to be wrong? So if you're stupid in the world's eyes, you're probably going to be wrong in the world's eyes too. And nobody likes to be wrong. We all want to be right. Well, guess what? The good news is the right news. We just got to be bold enough to give it. Some of us, when we're told we're stupid, we shut down. We tend to be silent and we just listen, which brings me to my next point. Donkeys are aware of the situation. If experience has taught a donkey anything, it's that they must assess the situation, become aware of their surroundings, and function accordingly. The world sees this as stubborn. How many of you have heard that a donkey is stubborn? Yeah, the world sees it as stubborn. But really what they're doing is they have assessed the situation, and if there is fear involved, they will not do it. You can beat it, you can call it names, you can do whatever you want, but that donkey, if it doesn't want to do it, it's not going to do it. But yet donkeys are one of the most lowly servant animals that you could ever have. They're one of the coolest animals, really, that you could ever have. It's just that their way of doing things, the world sees it as stubborn. There was a time when Israel was in the wilderness, in the plains of Moab, and they were camping. They had just come out of Egypt. News of their departure from Egypt had traveled, and news of how they had defeated the Amorites had traveled also. And the king of Moab was scared, and so he called on this man to curse the people. The man was a man of God, and God, of course, told him that he couldn't curse the Israelites. And so when he was asked, he said, "Well, I can only tell you what, I can only say what the Lord wants me to say. And the Lord doesn't want me to curse these people. He wants me to bless them." And so they went back and they came a second time and asked him if he would go. And here's what happened. God was angry. This is Numbers 22. God was angry because he was going. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now, he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord, which Balaam obviously could not see. The donkey assessed the situation and thought, there ain't no way I'm coming up against that sword. There ain't no way I'm coming up against that creature, that angel of the Lord creature that's right there. Not going to happen. But sat down. Experience, I think this, experience equals wisdom equals humility. They say that gray hair is a crown of wisdom. That's what the Proverbs say. Gray hair is a crown of, yeah, right there. Gray hair is a crown of wisdom. I think that what that means is, I don't think that it means that God just imparts this whole knowledge and wisdom on you and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like a, like I think we get it, wasn't it Charlton Heston in Ten Commandments or something where God's light comes on him and then all of a sudden he's got gray hair and all these different, I think we get that idea that that's what the Proverbs is talking about. Once we get this wisdom and knowledge and all that stuff that we just now start to have gray hair automatically. But I think this, I think experience is what gives us the gray hair. So some of you have gray hair because of your kids. Some of you have gray hair because you made some pretty crazy decisions in your life. Some of you went to the extreme and have no hair. But some of it got me. Some of you made some decisions in life and your experiences have caused you the gray hair. But listen, if you have learned from your experiences, that is what? That's wisdom. If you learn from your experiences, that's wisdom. Now, if you've made some pretty crazy decisions in your past, then experience equates to wisdom, equates to humility. Because I'll bet if you think back about some of the things that you have done and learned from, you go, ouch. If you look in the mirror and you go, oh man, all the, where did the time go? Where did all the, and I've done all these crazy things. It's humbling. And I think God allows us to think that way, feel that way, because I think we're supposed to be humble because we're not supposed to boast in anything we've ever done. I think 9 times out of 10, our wisdom comes from the dumb things that we did versus the right things we did. Because we learn, and we've chosen to learn, and we've chosen to grow from those things. We've chosen to look back and grow from it. Fifth grade, that experience in fifth grade, if it taught me anything, it was be slow to speak. So if you've been in staff meetings with me for the past 18 years, you're going, man, he never said anything much in staff meeting, but when he did, look out. I went to lunch one, this is not in my sermon, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Went to lunch one time with a group of pastors. Max was there, and Max asked this question. Was something about, or he made a comment, something about, what was it, about the sovereignty of God, and not being able to, like, you, prevenient grace, and it was this big theological question. Anyway, the pastors across the table were going, well, no, we don't believe in that, and I'm going, excuse me? And they just start going on and on about these different, and I'm going, I'm about to come out of my chair. Now, this is the guy that doesn't say much in staff meetings or anything else, but I'm about to come out of my chair because I'm so passionate about what I believe in this thing. And they're going on. I'm thinking, I'm going to step back because lightning's going to strike you and your beliefs. They ain't going to sit here for that. And I couldn't believe what, you know, and, but if anything, I've been taught to be slow to speak. That's wisdom. That's also wisdom. The Bible says this, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Experience has taught me humility because I do stupid things. I've done stupid things. And sometimes when I think about the stupid things, I really cringe. But it reminds me that Jesus came to this world for people like me. Amen. So, I think also that God usually speaks through, and I'm going to say this word, God usually speaks through asses. Let me get back to Balaam real quick. So the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. This is after Balaam had struck it a third time. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these 3 times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you've made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I'd have killed you by now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you've ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I'd surely have killed you by now and let her live." But Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now if it's displeasing to you, I will turn back." And the Lord had ended up telling him, "No, you're going to go, but you're going to say exactly what I want you to say." Remember, donkeys really aren't highly regarded animals. Let me ask you this. If you had a choice between a donkey or a horse, which would you pick? Most of us like horses. They're the majestic animals. They're the cool animals. We hear all about horses. Nobody picks a donkey. Nobody goes, "I'm going to go have a farm and I'm going to have donkeys." Nobody does that. Donkeys are not really regarded. And so they're the lowly servant animals. So remember, God speaks through a donkey. God speaks through asses. And if he's speaking through you, you probably ought to not think too highly of yourself. You know? Because if he's speaking through you, he's found the lowly servant animal. We're not always the highly regarded people. We're the people that have just said, "I submit. I give it to you. This is me. You have my voice. You take my voice. You take my body. You do with it what you want. You move in me. You, not me, me, me." If God is speaking through you, you ought to not think too highly of yourself. And finally, it was an ass that God used to bring Jesus into the world. So you won't find in your scriptures anywhere. I hate to tell you this, but we've all accepted that Mary and Joseph, when they left Nazareth and came to Bethlehem, we've all accepted that Joseph walks alongside Mary, who's riding a donkey, and comes into town to the innkeeper. That is not in your Bible. There's nowhere in your Bible that says that. We've accepted that, and I will accept that for this sermon, to say that a donkey brought Jesus into this world. But I can tell you about another time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was symbolizing things. He was telling the people things when he rode in on that donkey. He was telling them that he comes in peace. He was telling them that he came to conquer not the city, but he came to conquer death, and he came to conquer sin, and he came to give victory to the people, not just conquer them. See, if he'd have come in on a horse, he'd have come to conquer the city. That's the thing that he would have portrayed. But he came in on a donkey. And listen, I think that it's our task in this world today to bring Jesus into the world. I think that's our task. And God uses an ass to do it. So if I'm going to be called an ass, then I'm going to know that this is who I am. I'm the kind of guy that wants to bring peace into the world. I'm the kind of guy that wants to bring hope into the world. I'm the kind of guy that wants to bring joy into the world. I'm the kind of guy that wants to bring Jesus into the world, so that if you would experience the fullness of God through Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who came, lived, and died for us, and then rose again from the grave, if you want to experience that fullness, I think we need to be the people that bring it in. I think that this is a time when we need to recognize that we are called to be those people. That the story hasn't just come and gone. The story is each and every day of our lives. Each and every day. It doesn't stop. And it doesn't wait for you. So if you choose not to move, if you choose to be a stubborn ASS, if you choose to be a stubborn one, it's not going to wait for you. The message is going to keep going. I pray that you would be that kind of an ass, to be the one that God wants to use, to be the one that God wants to speak through. And it don't matter if you're looked at as dumb or stupid, but that you are a servant of the Lord, because the dumb and the stupid is what God thinks is wise. Okay? So one of the reasons I had... one of the reasons I had real struggles doing a sermon is because I got, as a musician, I want to write music too. I want to write songs and stuff. And I was just feeling, man, as a musician, I haven't been writing music at all lately. And I wish that I was a prolific songwriter. Prolific meaning that I could just sit down and I could write and write and write and write and come up with all of these really cool songs and stuff. And I think the Lord found a sense of humor this past week, and so I wrote 3 songs in 3 days. And they were pretty decent with it. So would you mind if I played you one? Okay. So this one I wrote a week ago Thursday. And it was foggy that day. I don't know if you remember that, but it was foggy that day. So that's why the first line of the song. And this song is about, it's about a man who, it's about me, and probably all of us, who we might have that front, right? That intellectual front that I talked about at the very beginning, that we want to be that guy that looks really good and we've got it all together and we're smart and we read books and we do all of these great things. But behind all of that is a man who just crumbles inside. He has doubt, he has fears, he has shame, he has hopelessness, he has all these bad things going on in his heart. And so that's what this song is about. This is called A Song That Has No Name. Thank you.
Father, I thank you that even though the world sees you and Jesus, our Savior, even though the world sees that all is foolishness, that it's just dumb faith, that it's nothingness. Father, I pray that I thank you that you have given us that faith and that it is wisdom to you. I thank you that, I think in the world it takes faith to believe what they believe too. Because most of what we all believe is knowledge that's been handed down. But I thank you that you have allowed us to experience you so that that faith is grounded and rooted in truth. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us your Son, that we can have that experience. And I think that this is a time when we can celebrate not only the birth, but the ministry of Jesus. We can celebrate that ministry continues on and that we can experience Jesus even the way that the people in the Bible experienced him. With a look, a touch, and a word. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us that experience. I just love you so much, and I pray that each person in here would chase after your love that you've given them. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, to end this out, I have another quote for you. This is St. Francis of Assisi as he was departing from Brother Dominic. And that is, bye. Have a good week, guys.